You're listening to The Bob Dean Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, and welcome back to The Bob Dean Show.
Yay.
My virtual Santa Monica apartment here. This is episode 5, and today our guest is Lee Sciarillo, my good friend and comedian from Delray Beach, Florida, formerly of Los Angeles. We're going to discuss things today. We're just going to do a short intro. First of all, thank you all very much for listening. You can also hear us on or listen to the show on LA Talk Radio, of course. And thank you, Sam. This is the second or possibly third week in a row that I have had myself and my guest ready to go an hour before this show starts. So I got to get that in my noggin that it's noon on LA Talk Radio, only on LA Talk Radio. You can hear rebroadcasts on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Stitcher, along with The Bob Dean Show on Facebook and our YouTube show. So at any rate, it's a gloomy, another friggin' gloomy cold day here in Los Angeles. I was just discussing with Sam before the show that it's been, almost 2 months before we've, at least in my recollection of daylight, that we've had a decent 2 days of sun in a row, which is crazy for us. So now we're just going to go ahead and cut right to the chase to go to sunny and stinking hot South Florida. I'd like to introduce you to my good friend and fellow comedian. This is Lee Sciarillo.
Hello.
Welcome to the Bob Dean Show, Lee.
Thank you.
You look marvelous. It's been a while. It's been, gosh, over a year since we've seen you.
I'm coming out of a funk.
Join the club. That's what I'm going to warn the audience today. Lee's coming out of a funk. I'm kind of in one. We don't know if it's weather-wise or whatever, but we're going to do our best to cheer each other up and entertain you, the studio audience, live. We are live, Lee, on LA Talk Radio.
Love it.
I need for you to send me a headshot so I can put it on the promotional.
Okay.
And please, you look great. Your hair's so long.
Yeah. I haven't left my apartment in like 16 weeks.
What's going on?
I've been sick as a dog, I say. It's been brutal.
Well, first of all, tell us about we'll get down to our ailments because, getting old blows.
Doesn't it, though?
It sucks. What are you eating?
I'm eating cashew nuts.
Ooh, our favorite. So you moved to Delray, 2 years ago? Lee and I are friends, ladies and gentlemen, from Los Angeles. We met through Sunda Kronquist, who I always like to mention, the LA School of Comedy, 10835 Santa Monica Boulevard. It's a great open mic group on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday nights. Sign ups at 6:30. So come and join us. I'm going to be there tomorrow night for sure.
Are there regulars there, Bob?
Yes, and that's what's great because I started the Bob Dean Show at the LA School of Comedy studio. Remember that? And then we moved to what was the Ruby Studio, and the Ruby Studio was torn down, Lee, on Sunset, where they took down two entire blocks. For more creative office space and luxury apartments, which will remain at 30% capacity while the homeless thrive on the sidewalk in front. It's really out of control. You left LA, and that's what I said, Lee and I met, and we've done lots of stand-up together at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood. Lee is hilarious.
You're hilarious. Why doesn't the LA government put the homeless in those buildings like they're doing in New York? They've taken over all the hotels in New York.
Well, that's what they're doing here too. They're working on it. And I don't even want to get too sidetracked on it because it's so frustrating. Do you have a situation like that? Because I know one of the reasons why you had a gorgeous apartment over off Fairfax, right?
It was Elm Drive.
Elm Drive.
Right near Wolfgang's, actually. I could walk to you.
I know, but then you moved over on Fairfax and La Brea, didn't you?
No, I moved to Crescent Heights, yeah.
Crescent Heights, because I know your Beverly Hills apartment was fabulous.
Yeah.
Was it your neighbor used to tell us about your neighbor, meeting your neighbor in Beverly Hills.
Which one?
The one that came with the welcome wagon package.
I don't remember.
With the sheep's eyeballs And you said you didn't even hear her, so you sent hello to her through the mail.
She's still divorcing him now, Shiva.
Oh my goodness.
But I've learned they are not, she is not Arab. She is Middle Eastern. She got very insulted when I called her Arab. We are not Arab. We are Middle Eastern.
Well, before that, you lived in
Ethiopia.
Little Ethiopia. Tell us about that.
Little Ethiopia?
Yes, it's fascinating to me.
You know, when I just got back from India, and I traveled with these older women. One was 83 years old. The other one is in her late 70s. And they go to Africa twice a year on missionary work. And they have pictures of the real Little Ethiopia and different tribes in Africa, the Ubangis, and just really wild cultures. And it's like, wow, that must be really mind-blowing to go to Africa and see the real Little Ethiopia.
I bet.
Insane. Yeah.
Well, from pictures, as continental as I appear, I'm not very well traveled. Does it look like beautiful country?
No.
It's kind of flat and barren and dead trees and dry.
Yeah, dry and desert-like.
Well, remember the jokes that people used to tell that you can't tell anymore? Like if you don't like it, just move.
Oh, Sammy Kennison. Get a U-Haul and move.
Well, that's how it is in L.A. now. We can't bitch about it. We should just move. But yeah, that you had a little problem with that over at your last place, and that's one of the reasons why you decided to go to Delray, right?
Well, sort of. It was scary. I would get up in the morning. I had Howard, who was, God bless him, was still alive, and I'd walk him through the Grove because it was like 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, and it's scary that early in the morning. Every goofball and weirdo is out cruising around. I think it's more dangerous in early morning than it is late at night. Yeah. You can kind of see your attackers.
Well, yeah, it's gotten really, really bad. And I don't know. It's just kind of cuckoo crazy.
Well, do you feel dangerous there in Los Angeles now?
You know, well, fortunately, I milk Santa Monica for the address, but I'm right where Brentwood and Santa Monica come together in West LA.
Right.
So in the center part of the neighborhood, I really don't, because my trek is between from Santa Monica through Westwood, boom, Beverly Hills, 3.1 miles. And, you know, everything's right. Pretty, you know, we only, you know, have a couple of, the one on the corner of Sepulveda and Santa Monica Boulevard.
Yeah.
Well, there are people that are standing there on the corner by the shopping center where Jamba Juice is. And
yep. Yeah, I know it.
Right there. And the Zankow Chicken. These people, and this guy was in his underwear at 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon in his little black bikini underpants, putting on deodorant right on the corner by the crosswalk. And then our friend Greg saw a naked woman doing a whore's bath right there in the same. I'm telling you, the audacity, they're out of their minds. And this new, there's some kind of new drug that I guess is laced in the heroin. I know this is supposed to be a comedy format, but then I've also changed the subject. I look at myself and I always look like I'm grim and old. People are like, are you tired? I'm like, well, I'm 62 and I'm still waiting tables. So I am. that's a whole nother topic we'll get to in a minute. My new job, which I do love.
I don't taste no alcohol.
Oh, it is. Ladies and gentlemen, that's my gig on women in bars, white women in bars. I'd like to taste every one of your 26 wines by the glass because I've recently been to Napa. And I want something that's earthy, plummy, jammy, and cheap. Black women in bars.
I can't taste no alcohol in this.
Persian women in bars are just mean. Anyway, let's get back to leaving the homeless situation. We'll come back to that at some point. So Delray, you've been there, what, 2 years?
Almost
three. My God, time flies.
It
does. And you have great friends with Stephanie Kankaitis.
Well, yes, I do. Her sister hates me now and dumped me.
Why? What happened?
It's a bit strange. Katrina, have you met her?
I met her briefly once at the Bar Wolfgang's with her mother, yeah.
With the mom, Patty.
Hills.
And Stephanie hooked up with a guy, so she's got a boyfriend and is all lovey-dovey with him. So Stephanie and Katrina are kind of at odds all the time. So I kind of got in the middle there because I initially was friendly with Stephanie. And then Katrina lumped in and she decided she doesn't like me and ditched me. So, and Stephanie's off with her boyfriend. But I should hook back up with them. Because when I was in the comedy mode, that's all I did was go to comedy every night. So they'd come and see me, and then people get sick of it after a while.
Well, so you've been doing a lot of – hold on, everybody. I want you to meet – hello.
Hi.
This is Elizabeth Barrett Browning. She's not the one that's ill, but I'm in her chair, and she's pissed. All right. Now that you met everybody, that's Elizabeth.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Now she's hissing at the other one. I foster cats. Dennis and I foster cats, ladies and gentlemen. So we always have a house full. Got a couple of really cool
And what happened? How do you get rid of them? Like, how do you get them to
well,
a real
Well, that's what
family?
Happens is that they're mostly older cats. Like, for example, Elizabeth Barrett Browning. She came from Evelyn. Do you remember Evelyn Selleck? Evelyn did stand up with us. She's a school teacher. You remember if you saw her. But yeah, Evelyn's elderly aunt, who had been an educator herself. She had a beautiful apartment in Hancock Park she had lived in for 30 years or whatever. And her health started to decline to the point where she needed to go to an assisted living facility. And Evelyn couldn't take Elizabeth because she has big dogs.
Right.
So Elizabeth was in the apartment, the furnished apartment for like 2 months by herself. I mean, Evelyn went over, you know, 3-4 times a week and made sure she was fed and played with her.
Yeah.
So she, like the day that she had to have everything out, she completely forgot that we fostered cats. So she called. We went over. Elizabeth had actually been locked in a cabinet overnight. She got in. Well, because my cats do that too with these bottom cabinets on the floor. They will open them up with their paw. It takes them a while to get in. Then they get in. And then, you know, then they can't figure out how to get out. But at any rate, it was really cute. She was in this kitchen cabinet, but she, you know, she wasn't been there for too long. And anyway, so we brought her home and started immediately to try and find a family that would take her. But you just fall in love with them.
I know.
And, you know, they're part of the family. And we did the same thing with this calico that they're our most recent. Her name is Lily. And unfortunately, her parent passed away and a friend of ours who knew them, you know, so here she is, and she's a gorgeous, mild-tempered calico, if anybody wants a lovely cat, and, but she's here with us, too, and, but I just figured I'd introduce you to Elizabeth. Phoenix is our cat right now, he's my favorite.
We have a name for people like you, Bob.
What's that?
Failed foster parents.
Exactly, that's what the lady at the vet said yesterday. We're failed fosters because you can't get, you know, you don't want them to leave. And in the past, you know, it was more of a rotation to where it would take 6, 7, 8 months to find a home for an older cat, but you would. But now I guess maybe just because I'm coming an old fart cat man. But yeah, I was telling you earlier on the phone, our Phoenix is our little tuxedo boy. He's black with white paws, and he's just the sweetest guy in the world. Had him, he was literally dumped on our front steps by two teenage boys whose car had broken down. They were going across country, and it's a long story. But he is real sick right now. We spent yesterday at the vet most of the day and trying to administer pills and liquids to a cat. It's not, well, even a dog, you know how that goes. So anyway, enough of that boohooness. So everybody say a little prayer for Phoenix. He's my baby, our baby. But back to you and comedy and Delray Beach. How do we get off on this stuff? All we need is a couple of things.
Comedy's happening down here in Florida.
Yeah?
Yeah, you know, it's amateur night in Dixie, but...
It's still fun, though, to get out.
Every night you could be doing comedy. Every night. You know, and it's good for kids that are like mid-level.
Are you talking Delray, Palm Beach County in general?
All the way up from Miami, all the way up to like Port St. Lucie, Stewart, Melbourne, all the way up the whole state. Comedy, comedy, comedy. We have three improvs down here. couple of big venues, all kinds of bars.
So you were out a lot, huh?
Yeah, I kind of just stopped. I came to a screeching halt. I just don't feel funny right now or find anything funny. Except,
you know, and that's how comedians are. You know, I mean, it's funny, too, because I started so late. I started, 10 years ago? And it's, you know, I just do it because it's fun. And being up on stage is better than any drug I've ever done. You know,
yeah.
And it's fun. And it's just, but, you know, like I said, I just started this new job. And, you know, I love what I, you know, my rent paying job, I call it, which is the service industry. You know, I've worked in every place from 5-star dining to where they'll kill you over a pool cue. And, you know, COVID screwed up my gig at Wolfgang's, which was a great gig for many, many years. And then getting back into it is I haven't found the right niche yet. I got fired from Carmine's, and I will say Carmine's on Santa Monica Boulevard by Little Kimmy, America's sweetheart, the one of the owners. Yeah, I'm saying it right here on the Bob Dean Show. Yeah, a little. They fired me because the owner didn't know how to use the computer and that she had installed. So she got rid of me so that this guy that she knew who knew how to use it could come in and she wouldn't have to come in at night.
That's a bummer.
I know. Well, anyway, so now I'm working at the Mosaic Hotel in Beverly Hills, which I love. It's a great little tiny boutique hotel that's been there for many years.
On Spalding,
yeah.
I'm going to send my friends there.
Yeah, please. It's a tiny little bar, but we have a really good time. And it's a gorgeous room, and it's adjacent to a pool. And, you know, the ambiance is nice. And it's just, you know, and the thing that I like about it is that as if my friend of mine was saying, because I worked on Cannon for so many years where all the hot spots were and still are. And I'm slowly getting my regulars to come in because being the new guy in this tiny spot, my schedule, you know, fluctuates. And I really like the job and that I'm really, you know, we're well respected by the staff and management as I respect them. The point is that I'm just starting to let my regulars know where I am because it's so low key. And my friend Joan goes, don't you just love it when you don't have the same people every night in your face going, honey, just give me a little splash. Meaning free wine, you know? So it's a really cool gig.
How many people can seat at the bar?
There's a maximum of 6.
Wow.
Which is actually cool because the people, when they come in, it's, you know, the thing that I love is that on the weekends, my regulars, Dan and Linda, you know, they're coming in and they're having dinner and we catch up and that sort of thing. Because on the weekends, the hotel guests seem to go out more to dinner and that sort of thing. During the week, when I'm working at night, because like I said, I wear many hats. It's a tiny place. I am the bartender, the cocktail waitress, the pool boy, and the room service attendant. And it seems like a lot, but in this tiny place with a tiny kitchen, it's just myself and the chef. And I've never had a job fly by so quickly, you know, and I'm making excellent money, you know, for what I do. And during the week, the hotel guests, professional people, men and women, I'm meeting all these different people. They're a great clientele. We chat it up. I promote the show. They tell me about their family. And it's just really cool, but it changes, you know. And
maybe I should stay there when I come out.
I hope you will. I met some wonderful philanthropists from Palm Beach County just the night before last. This couple, I won't know names mentioned, but they were this lovely couple that are both from West Palm. They got married in 1971 and they look fabulous, but they do giant work. They were here for the golf tournament. The U.S. Open is here in Beverly Hills, by the way.
Oh, okay.
For all you golf fans, that's been really cool. And lots of people in the hotel that are big golf fanatics. But at any rate, I'm just talking to the clientele that I meet. I'm real happy. But this is my whole point. I was telling you on the phone. It wears me out because, you know, I'm getting up there. And the time that I would like to get out there to work on stage time, which is only up to us to get out there and do it. I'm just like,
I know. Bye. It's easy to blow it off.
Yeah. So definitely tomorrow night I will be at the LA School of Comedy. At 10:35.
Do you work nights at the hotel?
Nights and I'm doing one day a week because, like I said, it's a small crew and the manager is working things out. But yeah, it's funny because I have to be there at 6 a.m.
Oh.
And that's my bedtime normally.
Yeah.
But 6 a.m. and but the thing of it, it's kind of neat to get up early. You know, you get a good night's sleep and you get up and there's no traffic. You get there.
It's another world.
It's a complete other world. And then at 2 p.m., I'm done for the day, you know, and then I could go home. But at any rate, so back to you.
Nappy and then I'll stand up at night.
Well, that's just it. But I'm doing four nights, sometimes five, you know. So at any rate, that's what I'm doing right now. Tell us about your trip to India.
Oh,
please.
You know, you say, I'm getting old. I can't do it. We traveled with a woman who's 83 years old, and she's a photographer. So she lugged around like big Nikon cameras, like two of them at a time, and climbed millions of stairs to the temples and was really rigorous. So
what group did you go with?
I went with four photographers and about three models. They were like older models, though, not, you know, 20-year-olds.
One and was it for magazine, magazine print or press?
No.
Or?
No, they were just doing it on their own recognizance. They wanted to take pictures of India. And so we went on this like sojourn. And
how many weeks were you there?
What?
How long were you there?
21 days.
21 days. Yikes.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Did you bring back any souvenirs?
Yes, I did, as a matter of fact.
That actually is quite beautiful.
I love it. Yeah. I brought back a lot of outfits, but you can't judge the sizes. So I get home and either they're way too big, too small, they ripped, they weren't good quality.
Now, is this just a hat or does it have some kind of ceremonial
I think
name?
It has a ceremonial thing, but you know, it's a tourist thing too. They sold the tourists.
Oh, you mean like the wicker hats in Chinatown?
Yeah. Exactly. But it was real interesting, India. Filthy, filthy, filthy dirty. And tents everywhere, kind of like Los Angeles. And Bob, the minute I got off the plane, I was like, I couldn't breathe, right? And I thought, oh my God, the 367,000 cigarettes I've smoked in my whole life have caught up with me. Right? We're on a high altitude. But it turns out it's the most dirty, polluted city in the world.
No kidding.
Yeah, and you could see it. And the minute you get off the plane, it smells like sewage. The whole city, the whole country smelled like sewage. We went all over. Yeah, it just stinks. And people are like nose blind. They don't seem to bother with it.
They used to. My brother, about 3 or 4 years ago, my brother's an international businessman, and he spent time at this in Bali, I think. What's the other big city?
Bombay? You mean Mumbai?
Maybe it was Mumbai, yeah. India? And I can't remember the circumstances of how he got in. Maybe they flew him in by helicopter to this very westernized, huge complex with like Century City, with private neighborhoods, apartments, yeah, and high rises and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And he said it was beautiful and lush and very westernized. And then the day he decided to go, he had a driver, and he said, this driver takes me out, and we go to these two big giant iron doors, and they open the doors, and he starts laughing. My brother's a very mild-tempered dude, and he starts laughing. He goes, I've never seen anything like it. He was like, it was going like from heaven to hell. He said, the doors open, and there's like 10 bazillion people, and they're all on cell phones, and cars are driving, and nobody's paying any attention to any kind of rules or anything, and they're just honking. Wherever the Taj Mahal is, because he went to see the Taj Mahal, and he said that was beautiful and things like that. But you know, just for those doors to open up and have that other thing, you know, it's crazy.
It's just like Slumdog Millionaire. Did you ever see that movie?
Yes,
like it.
Wow.
Beep 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 beep. Beep.
So, but then you made it out to more rural kind of areas, though, right?
Yeah, we went all over. We went all over northern India, and it still stunk of sewage. They're dirt poor, the people. Really nice people, though. I'll tell you, we went to the place where they have the Holy River. Can't remember the name of it. I want to say Agra, if it was in Agra. They go and they believe that it's got healing functions.
Yeah.
The Ganga.
Yeah.
Ganga River. We call it the Ganga River. What a shithole that place is. Filthy, dirty. And they're bathing in it and drinking the water. They have big ceremonies there, like religious ceremonies every night. Quite a trip, but ooh.
Well, let me ask you this. What were your accommodations? I mean, did you stop nightly? Did you stay in westernized hotels or hostels? No,
we had a 4-star hotels. So a different hotel almost every night. Maybe once in a while we'd spend 2 nights in one place. And they were, quite interesting. They were like old palaces. They weren't dirt holes at all. They were really like incredibly luxurious in their day. But, it's India, so you don't always get hot water. A lot of the rooms weren't like spick and span clean like you were in a Hilton hotel. No, they don't believe in toilet paper, so you're burnt if you want toilet paper. The food was less than terrific. So
what? Now, were there a lot of sacred cows walking around like all of us idiots think?
Yeah, all over the place. Sacred my ass. They're mean, those cows. And they rule. Like, you do not mess with them. They rule. They take over the streets and stuff. But, I saw a documentary. I'm laying here sick as a dog back in the States. And they showed a documentary on they had an animal rescue for the cows that get hit by cars and that are sick, right? And the state, the government of India allows them something like $5 million a year to help the cows, more than what's allowed for the homeless in Los Angeles.
You are kidding me.
No, I was like, wow. But at the same time, they right down the street in the same city in Delhi, they also have a slaughterhouse for the cows.
Now, what's that all about? They don't.
Yeah, exactly. And they're not very kind the way they do it. Wow. It's awful. Because they may not eat meat, but they got leather shoes, leather belts, purses, pocketbooks.
Oh, yeah. I forgot all about that.
Yeah, me too.
Trade.
And then they're nasty to them, the way they slaughter them. So it's a horror. And the cows, they're filthy, dirty. They're not very well taken care of, even though they roam free. And the dogs, PETA would lose their mind if they saw how people treat the animals there. They're all over the streets. They're filthy, dirty. They're mangy. They got rabies. Scavengers. It's horrible to see. And you know what? I never saw one cat there. Not one.
Wow.
No chickens, no cats.
Maybe they eat cats. I know that some cultures do that.
I don't know.
Westernized. I am such a lazy American. I should never bitch about anything that's happening here comparatively, huh?
No. But in retrospect, I was bitching and moaning the whole time I was there. Motherfucker. But in retrospect, it's nice to see a different culture and how other people live.
It makes you appreciate your little one-bedroom apartment with central air conditioning, doesn't it?
Yeah. Or maybe, I could understand living there. Now that I know the lay of the land and what you're in it, up against, I would position myself differently. Like I'd fill my suitcase with tons of snacks.
And toilet paper. What did
and
you
toilet
do?
Paper.
Well, I guess it's be pretty. Do they have bidets or what?
I guess, yeah, they do have bidets. But maybe they don't have toilet paper because the plumbing is so bad there. Yeah. It stinks of sewage. So maybe that's why. And if you ask for toilet paper, they give you half a roll. What the hell is that about?
That's like when I went to Mexico to Ensenada. Oh my God, we had a blast.
That's so American.
We had a blast on the ship. Our friend Hans, a friend from Miami Beach, and he treated about 10 of us. He treated us to a 3-day cruise to Ensenada, a 4-day, whatever it was,
out of Los Angeles.
Yeah. We all met because these were all friends from Miami Beach, and I lived here, but everybody else came in from other places, and we stayed on the Queen Mary. With Hans's treat. It was a lovely, lovely time. And we stayed on the Queen Mary that night and had dinner and drinks. And then we left the next day on the Carnival cruise. And it was a beautiful boat. You know, I spent most of the time sitting by the bar because it was one of those family cruises, you know, as well. And let me tell you something. Now I understand what they're talking about because every kid on that ship was fat. Every child was just obese. And I mean, I've always been a stocky guy. But, you know, we didn't eat fast food and that sort of thing. But I'm not going to go on that whole tangent, except we went to Ensenada. And when we got off the ship, we went on this tour thing to the blowhole or the blue hole or whatever. And we take this, you know, a little tour bus. And we got there and it was one of the most stunning sights I've ever seen. Right. And, but it looked like maybe in the 50s and 60s, there had been a welcome center that was, you know, it had a really interesting shape and all that, but it was all dilapidated and everything. The whole point is that the tour guide was telling us on the way there, she goes, now, when you use the restrooms, it's customary to tip. There's an attendant at every restroom and they will give you toilet paper and it's customary to tip them. Right. And so we're expecting not gorgeous valets or whatever. Girl, I'm telling you, there was like these bathrooms with no doors, you know, and 100 people crammed in there. And I'm like, well, where's the toilet paper? I fortunately didn't use it, but I was like, what? And they literally were handing out like 2 squares to each person. I was like, wow, I'm glad I had my constitutional before I left.
That was India. Same thing.
Oh my gosh.
That's how the poor people make their money though. Wow. You know, I don't think the Indians with money even touch that reality or even see it, just like your brother saw.
Yeah, probably not.
It's beneath them.
I had several Indian friends in high school that were, you know, really cool. But their fathers were like doctors at Meharry, a medical college in Nashville.
Yep.
And, you know, they were very westernized people, but it's cool. Yep. But yeah, like I sound so ignorant not knowing anything about what's going on anywhere else. Better learn, you know. I was telling you what we're thinking about, a possible move to Thailand in a few years, or a year and a half was a goal, but it might be pushed back a little bit.
My friends are happy as hell there.
Listen, isn't it with everybody? You have expat friends there. I do. And my neighbor has been like 6 times. Well, two guys have both been to Pattaya. And they have had a blast. My one friend, Neil, has been there like 6 times. The guy that lives down, he's an international leather trader. And one of the girls that I work with, this younger girl, her family goes back. Pattaya, ladies and gentlemen, is a beach city. It's about an hour outside of Bangkok. And you know, it's third world, but it's also, I guess, becoming westernized with architecture and things like that. Our friend Michael, the white Mexican, Michael Sandoval, who will be a guest on the Bob Dean Show in the future. He's going to tell us all about how much he loves Pattaya. He went over there for a month, and Dennis and I had lunch with him, and that's what got us hot on the idea. Not only is it beautiful, and the people are fantastic, and they don't care. You know, they don't have this kind of like demeaning attitude toward anybody else. Everybody gets along. But apparently the dollar goes so far that you can really enjoy life and not, you know, and
you don't want, them westernized. Once that happens, you're screwed.
Yeah, you're screwed. And it just becomes like anywhere else. But as when I say westernized, I guess I mean like with housing, like there's several, new apartment buildings and that sort of thing. And Michael is living in a gorgeous high rise close to the beach with a beach ocean view. And his rent, I'm not even going to say, it's just, you can live like a king for, a very few American dollars. And that's a huge reason why.
Yeah, Bob, you could live the same way in like Central America and South America.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't have to be just there. I was talking to my brother, Greg, who I said is an international businessman. And I thought he would be like, you know, that's a stupid idea. But he's like, no, you know, it's something you should think about, like looking into, because I have no ties. Dennis and I have no ties, really, no family. I mean, my brother's in Charlotte. I have nieces and nephews. They're all east. I never see anybody, you know.
The only bummer is that air travel is a bitch. Yeah. 30 hours it took us to get to India.
Well, 30 hours, yeah. I don't think it's that far to Thailand, but still.
It's bad. It was 16 hours to Dubai.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, my brother does that shit all the time, and I don't know how he does. Well, he has more of a luxurious flight area.
Probably first class, I would say.
Of business, yeah. But I don't even like to go to the East Coast because it's 5 hours, and I go stir crazy on that flight.
Yep.
So, you know, it's something that we have to check out, you know, when we're put together a little trip in the next few months to go over for a couple of weeks and check it out.
I'll tell you what, when I went there, we had a stop over in Dubai. Now that looks very cool.
Well, Dubai, see, I heard so many things about Dubai cool. And then, you know, and now, you know, it was like the place, and now there's like, and see, here I am talking about it and I really don't have the facts, but from what I've heard, there were so many, you know, huge people made money so quick and then they lost it so quick. And I remember seeing something about all these like Ferraris and shit that are sitting at the Dubai airport with flat tires, you know, where people just left their shit. And, you know, and so I don't know, but still I hear Beverly Hills people talking about how fabulous it is. It's either Dubai or Nashville. That's all you fucking hear about.
And what's with Nashville? I see you commenting. Has it really gone to the dogs?
Well, it's not gone to the dogs. In my opinion, that's one of the reasons why I moved out here. Cause like I saw the same thing happening on Miami Beach. You get used to a place and even, you know, and you see the things that, you know, little houses that you've never stepped in your life, like in LA, the little bungalows from the 20s, and they're just coming down, 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 because the world is so stinking overpopulated in the first place that the single family home, they got to tear it down so they can put in tract house condo. And Nashville, everybody that visits Nashville that's not from there loves it. They have a wonderful time, and I got good for them. But for me personally, I don't think I'll ever be able to go back, because I want to remember it the way it was, and it was the coolest place in the world to grow up. And I have many friends there, and I don't mean to disrespect my friends who still live there. I don't mean it like that. I'm just saying, for me, my heart can't take it. It's just too much, you know, and people in Los Angeles, when people from LA started moving there in, you know, leaps and bounds, it had nothing to, like, just like Austin, you know, my friends, Susan and Frank in Austin, you know, the same thing in Portland, Seattle, Austin, Nashville. Now it's going to, I think, Asheville, North Carolina. It has nothing to do with it being cool or music or anything like that. It has to do with the fact that there's no sales tax. And you can buy so much, your dollar goes so much further, the quality of life is better, you see. And it's expensive to live in Davidson County now as it is in Los Angeles, pretty much.
I feel the same way about L.A. I've been coming to L.A. since the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't eat, west was like west of Santa Monica Boulevard. Olympic Boulevard, that was like, you know, no man's land.
Yeah.
And even I don't mean this in a racist way, but no Mexicans even came across the hill. There were nobody on this side of the, you know, Beverly Hills side. None.
Well, like I said, it doesn't matter where you're from. You know, it's like this whole thing. I mean, it's not a matter of race. It's a matter of overpopulation.
But
we
cram into cities. Like when you drive up the coast in Florida, there's miles and miles and miles of no man's land.
Yeah. For now.
For now, yeah.
I have a nephew and who lives in Navarine. You know where that is? I've never been.
In Florida?
Yeah.
And never heard of it.
Great nephew is a lifeguard. They're both retired from the Air Force. And Paul and Erica and their son, Paul Jr., And they have a wonderful life that they love, and they foster Dobermans, and they live their, and they're still young. You know, they retired in their 40s, you know, Paul with special services and Erica trained bomb sniffing dogs. And they're very handsome people. They work out and they spend time, kayaking and at the beach and all that sort of thing. But it's like this tiny little place I've never even been to visit. So I need to get down there and check that out.
Navarin. You'd probably last like 2 hours there, though.
Me?
You have to be like Mr. Nature, you know?
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, that's it. They are totally, yeah. And it's like, when I was in Miami, in younger years, you didn't mind the humidity because you were never dressed. You were never wearing anything but, shorts and t-shirts.
Right.
And even to work, So the humidity would be unbearable. It's
like that here.
Yeah, well, see, exactly. And that's just it, is that, when you have to dress to go to work or whatever, in that humidity, oh, my God, forget it.
Yeah. However, you'll freeze your balls off in a building. It's so cool.
It's 105 degrees outside and with 100% humidity, but yet old people are carrying sweaters into the theater.
Old people, my ass. Everybody is freezing, like in the malls and office buildings and restaurants. You freeze.
Well, all you need is one good hurricane to come in and put it out for a few days. That's what Andrew taught us.
Yeah, it's coming. We've been having lots of rain here.
Well, you need to make sure that you always keep your gas tank full. You keep cash money in ones and fives.
Ones and fives.
Ones and fives, and I'll tell you why. Ones and fives and bottled water and tuna. Because even if it's just for a couple of days, because Andrew, in 1993, that was like the worst natural disaster that had ever hit the United States. And it was bad. And, we were spared. My roommate, Bob Bernacki, owned a home in Dania. And I was working on South Beach. I hadn't moved to the beach yet. And he had this groovy little house up by Tropical Acres Steakhouse, if you know where that is, off Dania Beach.
I just ate there recently. Yeah, okay. It was awful.
Well, it's been there for 100 years or whatever. A little neighborhood right behind it was where we lived, and because it was only 20 minutes to the beach, But I was running the Lasso Lounge, which was the coolest bar in the world, the haunted bar that we were talking about with Jennifer Diamond, who was our first guest on the Bob Dean Show. Yay, my psychic friend. The haunted bar. But at any rate, the hurricane came and it was supposed to hit Miami and then head north, like toward Lauderdale and Dania. And right when it hit land, it went left and went south, South Miami and Homestead. The point of all that being is that there was no running water, no air conditioning, no nothing. And not even to mention the thousands of people that lost their homes, and more lives had to be lost, But it was so weird because in all the suburban neighborhoods in South Miami, it was piles of sticks like matches, driveways and lawns and piles of sticks, pile, 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 pile. But when you don't have any, the reason why you want ones and fives is because you can't use your damn Visa check card to buy a 39 cent pack or a $2.39. I was going to say 39 cent pack of gum. Those were the days. But you need to have cash money because if you can do commerce and people, I don't have change for a 20. I don't have change for a 50 kind of thing,
And yeah, well, I got news for you. I don't know if it's happening in LA now. A lot of people don't take cash anymore.
Oh my God, what is up with? Well, that's what I'm saying. If something
they want a cashless society,
cash. Yeah, it's pretty scary.
I don't like that.
I hate it. I absolutely hate it. That's like the place where I work. They don't even have a cash register. I love the Mosaic Hotel. It's a Highland Hotel, which is a natural, and I'm promoting it. I love it, but they don't even have a register behind the bar because there's no need for it. Every transaction, I might get two cash transactions a night. So I carry my own little bank, And then if you need change, they have it at the front desk. But nobody uses cash. And when I first started in this business.
I don't like Big Brother knowing what you do.
They do everything. I mean, I Googled a friggin' my Beverly Hills dermatologist. Retired, and I didn't know that. So I'm looking for a new dermatologist, and I went to ZocDoc. Girl, I found a great dermatologist, but 5 minutes after I Googled it, Every other ad was for dermatology or skincare. Just like that. And wow, this is a great comedy episode today, isn't it?
Commentary.
So that, at any rate, we got to watch the clock because I don't want to go over. Sam, our producer, is a great guy, but we have 5 minutes.
Wow, that went fast.
It did. And thank you. Know, and what, we miss you. We should come.
I miss you guys too. Well, is the Mosaic Hotel pricey? I need to come out there.
Let me tell you what, I don't know how any of that stuff works. For Beverly Hills,
I'm going to Google it.
Google it, because how things work. I don't have any idea how it works in the front. I know that, and that the Maison Hotel is right behind us.
Uh-huh.
It's a sister hotel. Now, I know that their rates are even less. It's really cool. Lillian Gish, the famous silent film star, built the structure, the Maison Hotel, which is like literally you go out by, past the pool, through the little parking lot, and to the left, and that's our sister hotel. So if you stay there, you share the same amenities. You can use the pool and the gym and everything, because it's more of much more of a bohemian three structure. Like the elevator is small; it's just a lift, you know. And they don't have a restaurant; they have a real small bar, but it's really cool. Randy March is the bartender there. He's been there for years. It's a great little regulars place, and but their rates are even cheaper. And for Beverly Hills, for location and value and what you get, they're great.
Wow.
Now, the point being, though, is that depending on what's going on in town, the rates go up and down.
Right.
But it sure is going to beat the – because we literally are right across the street from the Peninsula, which I know the rooms are like $6,000, $7,000 a night. And then the Waldorf Astoria is in walking distance, and the Beverly Hills Hotel, they're just catty corner right there on Wilshire, because Spalding is the first right after the intersection of Wilshire and Santa Monica.
Oh, yeah. It's all coming back to me now.
Yeah, it's right. If you cross over Santa Monica on Wilshire, like coming from where the Beverly Hills, Los Angeles Country Club is, where the PGA Tour is, you turn right, and that's Spalding, and that's where our hotel is. And then South Lasky runs parallel. And that is off Charleville, you know where Charleville comes off of
Center. Yeah, that's my old neighborhood.
Yeah. You know, for all of you people out there watching the Bob Dean Show, we're talking about the we're talking about south of Sunset. This is where the commoners live.
I wouldn't be caught dead.
It's a great little neighborhood.
I wouldn't be caught dead there. It's a great neighborhood, but that's where the two hotels are. So they're in walking distance to all the action. We have 3 minutes. I'm watching the clock. So let's wrap this up with you. So listen, we miss you terribly.
I miss you guys too.
Just let that, you know, we'll get in touch with me and I'll ask at the hotel about, you know, I don't know if there's any kind of friends and family rates or what.
I doubt it.
Well, yeah,
we have tons of friends there. I just don't want to stay with anybody.
Oh, same way. When I travel.
Because then you got to see someone else.
You're right. We're not 20 anymore. It's not like we're staying with a friend and we get up and have Bloody Marys and party and go to the gym. Now it's like, oh, my back hurts and I got to get up 4 times to pee. It's just easier to do that with your own space.
Yeah. Come and go as you please. Exactly.
But I'm
coming out there.
Well, let's keep in better touch. I love you very much. Dennis, say goodbye to Lee.
Bye,
Dennis. I love your apartment, by the way.
I know. He's over in the other wing. Don't you love the new stone fireplace and the piano?
Now, would L.A. be better for you if that was your apartment?
Oh, hell yeah. Because I wouldn't have to
go. Things would be better, right?
I'd have Cook doing everything, you know, and I'd be doing. That's why I wanted to this would be my ending statement. Going to Pattaya or somewhere, some third world country that's on the ocean, because that's one thing I do. I love the heat, when it's you don't have to do anything. And I want to be the fat, hairy guy in the Speedo with the bamboo hat and a metal detector and let the sun ruin my skin.
My dream of being a pool boy.
And Dennis says he'll fulfill his dream of being a pool boy. You should come with us, Lee.
Too far.
We could all live in the same apartment building.
I can take the my friend who does live there lives in a big, beautiful high rise.
That's what Michael does too. Same thing. And the rent is
in Bangkok.
Yep. So that's what we're thinking about doing. You know. Anyway, it's time to wrap up this episode of the Bob Dean Show. Thank you.
Sorry, we weren't so funny, but I enjoyed talking to you.
Yes, you too. We'll get together soon, and please, LA Talk Radio Thursdays at noon, live noon, not 11. Bob Dean, and look
and
forward
Mosaic to- Hotel when they want to see you live.
Yes, come see me at the Mosaic Hotel on South Spalding in Beverly Hills, and that's it for today.
Wow. Good, good. Namaste.
Bye-bye. Namaste. Namaste.
You're listening to The Bob Dean Show, only on LA Talk Radio.